Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A little bit later in the day, before we're out of here at 2 for Chad Dukes versus the world, I'm going to have to ask a few people who have been out on the roads to give us a call and let me know what they've experienced. Because I am, as of this moment, planning on at 2 o'clock traversing back to Alexandria over the Potomac River. And it sounds like I'm going to be in for an adventure.
You have a very short commute compared to mine back
where
to
are
the
you
country.
Going?
I go back to my palatial estate in Churchton.
How do you think that's going to go?
I don't know. Suitland Parkway to Route 4. How is it out there? I heard Suitland Parkway was closed earlier, but it's reopened. So
if it's closed, it's going to make your commute increasingly difficult.
Yes, but having been a traffic reporter in this town for 10 years, I do know where all the detours are.
You're still a little bit of a traffic reporter.
I'm fascinated by it. I love it.
Pete's tweets where he tells me, like, car broken down on the side of Route 50, and I'm driving around three states away, and I'm like, all right, good nugget, Pete.
Helped one person when I tweet that information, then it's done its job.
That's right. That's literally all you're trying to do. Save one person for an extra hour of traffic.
You got it.
Ryan Zimmerman has spent a lot of hours not playing Major League Baseball during spring training. This is a strange situation, and I give the Junks a ton of credit. They've been at spring training. You heard them broadcasting the last few days. And shout out Eric Bickle, by the way. Hope he's feeling better. EB apparently got food poisoning from Tiger Woods' restaurant.
There's so much irony in that.
That is
so much
comical. But
I hope, Tiger,
that he's feeling better. And I do hope that he's able to get on the plane, because there's nothing worse than having to fly on a plane when you're nauseous and feeling disgusted.
He's going to threaten to sue the restaurant for food poisoning unless he gets a meet and greet with Tiger. You watch.
That would be a pretty smart, bold move by him. Nobody loves anything like he loves Tiger Woods. But Ryan Zimmerman's not playing in spring training games with the big club. He's been playing exclusively in minor league spring training games. So one thing you've got to know is basically you have free reign to do whatever you want to do with minor league spring training roster machinations. A guy like Ryan Zimmerman, if the Nats wanted him to, could lead off every single inning in a spring training game. If he just wanted to get some ABs one day, they could say, hey, go get seven at-bats in the seven innings of this game or what have you. They could play him for an inning, get him out of the game, put him back in a game for a couple innings. Pretty much they could do whatever they want. That's something that teams often take advantage of with players rehabbing or that are injured or getting up to speed. But they rarely exclusively have guys play at the minor league level of spring training, which is effectively what the Nationals have done sans one game so far as of when the Junkie showed up a couple of days ago at spring training. And it's gotten to a point now, me and a bunch of my buddies who are big Nats fans texting about this constantly, people are concerned. This is not a guy like Michael Taylor doing this, right, where he's never had injury history, so there's not always something going on physically. This is Zimmerman, who had, remember, reportedly some kind of calf issue at one point during spring, and who has had a plethora of injuries to overcome over the years, who up until last year when he stayed healthy and had a career season was kind of in the boat of what's going to happen next, how many games can you get out of him before he's going to the DL. So anytime there's news on him is my point. The red flag kind of goes up. Your radar has to be peaked. You kind of turn in that direction and you listen for news. Here is what Dave Martinez told the Junkies. They asked a great question about basically the handling of Zimmerman and why his spring has been so strange. And should we be worried? Is he hurt? Here's what Dave Martinez said.
Well, I mean, he's a veteran guy. I mean, how many spring trainings has he been in? You know, so
what did he come to you? What did he say?
Well, I told him. I said, hey, you look like you're in great shape. You know, just go out and tell me what your needs are, and we'll get it done, and we'll go from there. I mean, he's getting plenty of at-bats. He's working out. He looks really good. So, and he's happy.
What if all the other veterans said, "Hey, Dave, I don't want to do that."
We'll work on it.
Yeah.
But we need to make sure we can feel the team though every day. You know,
that's Dave Martinez has heard with the Junkies. I want to get into what this means for him as a manager and his out of the box thinking on this in a second. But I do want to let everybody hear from Ryan Zimmerman on this, because he too joined the Junkies and he talked about his spring and all the minor league work he's getting. A couple of things that he told the junkies. Here was one.
Yeah, and, it, you know, obviously it's not the same as a big league game, but if you go back there and take it seriously and, you know, those guys, you're facing AAA guys, some guys that you've seen in the big leagues before, so it's not like you're facing...
It's not like a huge drop-off.
Well, you're not facing an 18-year-old kid that was in high school last year. These are still legit professional baseball players. So we just thought it was a good way to kind of control the situation, get a ton of at-bats. I've probably got... Shoot, I'm in the 40s, almost 50 at-bats, I think.
Zim on the workload to this point. But he also talked about Martinez allowing him to do this and kind of making the decision that this is how they go about it.
It was mutual. I didn't just go in there and say, hey, listen, this is what's going to happen. But, you know, there's so many opportunities to get at-bats on the backfields against whether it's our minor league teams or the other minor league teams. And, you know, our season's so long. We play 160-some games, and then if you're lucky enough to make the playoffs, you can get up to the 180s. And so kind of the thought process was there's no reason to play 20 more games down here. You can all honestly get almost more work in back there doing what you need to do and control the situation. And so we decided to do it that way.
You heard him use that word control a couple times. They can better control his workload. I guess my first questions about this are and were, why didn't he just do it the way that he always has and that everyone else does it? And that worked for him last year. I hit 36 homers, driving 100, bat 303, and post a 930 ops. I'm doing whatever this spring I did last spring. And he's chosen to tweak his preparation and getting ready for the year. How did this come up? You know, does he go to Davey Martinez, and it sounds like Skipper Martinez said that this is what happened, and he says, hey, here's what I'd like to do this spring. Let me just get my work at minor league camp and maybe tax my body a little bit less. I played in 144 games last year. I'm 33 years old. I know how to get ready, and Martinez is no problem, which I love that the manager is allowing the veteran player to tell him, I know my body, let me do this. But I'm curious, Pete, because we haven't seen this. Other guys don't do this, and
if it worked
so well, I don't know why other veterans wouldn't have done this in the past.
Who has Dave Martinez, though, been a great lieutenant for?
Well, Joe Maddon.
Okay, who is probably the guy over the last 5 to 8 years that has managed more out-of-the-box thinking than Joe Maddon?
Nobody.
So I think this is an extension of what you've seen there, where this is clearly the older veteran on the team, the guy that's been around forever. You admittedly, and we heard him say, you know, obviously there was a calf issue probably coming into spring training that was probably an issue. He's still gotten twice as many at-bats in the spring training games than he would have gotten in any of the major league games. So the calf, probably not as big a deal. But even if it is, A, you can hide him a little bit here, in my mind, playing him in these minor league games. But he's getting the work. It's not as if he's sitting on the side. He's getting the same amount of work. Granted, look at most of these games. You'll face a starting pitcher every now and then, one of the top starting pitchers from a club. But more often than not, you're facing guys that are AAA or 4A guys in a lot of these games.
You get an ace every day to begin these games. And if you're Ryan Zimmerman, just about every day. Unless you're going on a split squad somewhere, you look at the Nats rotation every single day. One of the projected guys in this rotation and or someone competing for the fifth spot is starting.
Do you think it makes a huge difference, though, who you see the live hitting from as much for a player of his caliber and veteran presence as opposed to a younger guy who probably needs to see it more?
He's saying no. So I'll defer to him. He knows way better than
correct.
I do.
And the manager, who is clearly an out-of-box thinker, he's come up with a lot of these ideas that Joe Maddon has, you know, put into play in the teams he's managed in Tampa and Chicago. So here's a case of a guy saying, look, I trust you that you're going to get the same amount of work done or even work harder in this case because you're going to get more at-bats to be ready for opening day.
Look, the beautiful thing about this is the proof's going to be in the pudding. If he hits 206 in April,
right,
that was probably a fact.
But in that same interview, because I ran on it yesterday, Zim said, look, I've had spring trainings where I've hit 400 or 425 in spring, and I've come out in the first month and I've hit 200.
Right.
He goes, so it doesn't necessarily matter what that performance has been to dictate results.
I understand,
but
when you do something fairly unprecedented, certainly in this organization, but that is not really done anywhere else, that is unique enough that to a lot of people they're going, wow, this is kind of weird.
But if it works, then wouldn't it work
later
on? Yes, Pete.
If it works, great. If it doesn't work, my point is you can then go back and say that was dumb. You shouldn't have done that. You should have done what
but
every one of your teammates
it, but
did.
If you don't do it in this case, then you don't know if it would work for a veteran player like
that's
this.
That's fine. I don't have it's a not, problem they,
they're
with
not
them doing
that.
It.
They're not going to do that with the 23 and 24-year-olds.
No.
They're only going to do it for the guy that's 34 and 35.
I don't have a problem with them doing it. What I'm saying is if he gets off to a slow start, now all
absolutely
of a sudden,
open for criticism, both him and the manager,
absolutely.
No doubt.
And they should be criticized for it. If he can't hit for the first month of the season, now I'm not saying that's going to happen, but when you do something like this coming off of a career year, I think you open yourself up to criticism for that.
But at the same time, when you have a guy that has been as injured as often as Zimmerman has, you know, it's probably not a bad thing to lessen his workload some leading into the regular season, hoping you have him for the amount of time you did last year, because that was the key last year.
There
you
are
had him available
dozens
to
of
you.
Players around Major League Baseball with the same problems who have their workloads lessened in Major League camp. You can absolutely cater those same programs. You play X amount of days. We saw it with Adam Eaton. We're seeing it with Daniel Murphy. None of them are doing this minor league only thing that Ryan Zimmerman's doing. I just hope he's healthy and that something's not being hidden here. That was my major concern all along. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. What do you make of the way the Nats are getting Ryan Zimmerman ready for the start of the year? This is your flagship home for Nationals baseball. Grant and Danny on the Fence. You're locked into the Fan. I see that Chad Dukes is in the saddle. He made it through the snow. He trekked through a couple inches of unplowed road to get out of his neighborhood.
Outside of fire, safety, police, and people, essential personnel, surgeons who have to save lives and stuff like that, radio people and TV people, there is no, look, you get your rear end to work. We get you a hotel, you go there, you come in and do your job because that's what we pay you to do.
The show must go on. This is show business, people. There's no business like show business like no business I know. Hey, by the way, see if you can grab Chad at the end of this segment. I want to get an update on the roads from him. Seriously, because I'm starting to worry a little bit about 2 o'clock coming.
Well, I see black pavement out on South Capitol Street, so that's a good thing.
This pleases me, and this is promising. But we'll get it.
How long is your commute home usually?
It takes this time of day, like around 3 o'clock. It'll take probably 35 minutes, maybe 40 max. With no traffic, it's a 20-minute drive.
Yeah,
but that's just not very common on 295, and with all the construction getting out of town around here. Let's put a bow on our Ryan Zimmerman conversation. So the Nats have been creative. They're out of the box, and they are getting him ready for the season, basically exclusively asking him to take on minor league competition because they can game the system a little better and get him in and out of games as needed and not overwork him. I'm perfectly fine with it. What I'm saying about it is, A, this is not something I've ever seen before as someone who follows baseball very closely, and B, that he's coming off of the best year of his career, and he's making a major change to how he gets ready for the season, which to me is fascinating. Now, he is not seemingly superstitious and doesn't seem to care a lot about that because Eric asked him that on the show yesterday. Hey, dude, why don't you just do exactly what you did? And he pointed out to what you said, Pete. Well, I don't know if last year, and I'm paraphrasing, had a whole lot to do with my preparation. It was a year where if I'm healthy, that's kind of how I'm going to play. I hope he's right because it's a strange enough way to go about preparing that if it doesn't work, he and Dave Martinez are both probably going to be questioned for this plan, and it's not going to be the end of the story that when the season starts, spring training doesn't matter anymore. It's going to be this is how they decided to ramp him up. This is not something that's normally done. How did his April and May look? But more importantly, and getting back to kind of my thesis here, my concern all along is that there's something going on. There's tomfoolery amiss here. Something.
It's a great word.
It is involved that we don't know. Otherwise, this wouldn't be happening. And if I'm wrong about that, and I'm admitting this is 100% stupid outside speculation, I know nothing. Great. I hope that I am. But it just seems weird to me, with a 33-year-old who's been injured a lot in the past, that he's the test subject and this is happening for no reason.
But if something is going on, why are you sending him out there for 50 or 60 at-bats in the minor league? If something legitimately was going on, then he wouldn't be out there, period. So, again, it's like you mentioned.
True, but he hasn't. I don't think he's played a lot in the field, has he? Am I wrong?
That really hasn't been broached. Even Chelsea Janes said in a report in the Post that has somewhat been a little bit of a mystery. In fact,
how many people are at those minor league games?
She thought he might even get into a Well, I mean, there's at
my
least
point
Nationals
is,
personnel there.
That would be
there.
A way to get that not broached. If he wasn't playing in major league games,
you don't think
in the
there's
field?
Enough people around that if there was something really amiss with him that it wouldn't get out by now, by this point of spring training? I mean, I know they're good at keeping things tight like Fort Knox, but still.
On that beat, a lot of things. Like
there's a lot of people around there. Not just that beat. There's a lot of people floating around.
I know, but I'm saying in spring training. On that beat, I think that there's a lot of things
remember
to
the,
cover.
The,
there's
the
a
world
lot of champ- things
the
happening.
World champions work out of that same facility. So
what do you mean by that?
I mean, the Astros get a lot of people. There's a lot of attention around.
No, but the Nats have their own beat reporters.
No, I don't understand that, but I'm saying even the bigger people, the Heymans of the world, everybody like that, they're all through there at some point.
Yeah, the days that I was there, I saw John Heyman. I've been at spring training and see Tom Verducci. I saw Eddie Matz from ESPN.com. I mean, there are reporters there. My point is it's easy. I've been on a beat where coaches cover stuff up and you find out weeks later, oh, it wasn't what we thought.
My
remember a few
him,
years ago with Anthony Rendon, his knee's fine. There's nothing to worry about. His knee's fine. Halfway through the year, and he's still not fine.
My point is, if he was in any jeopardy of not being able and being physically ready to go in April, they wouldn't have him taking all these at-bats in these minor league games.
How about this?
I think it's simple.
Chelsea Janes on Twitter. Tom just sent me this DM. This was from 10:15 this morning.
He slid into your DMs?
Bryce Harper is wearing a first baseman's glove right now while his teammates bunt, and he appears to be using it.
Mm.
Bryce Harper is, for whatever reason, spending time at first base with a first baseman's mitt fielding bunts.
So that would mean Taylor in center, Eaton in left. Who would go in right? Goodwin?
You're overthinking this.
No, but you.
What does this mean for Ryan Zimmerman?
You're overthinking this thing I think about Ryan Zimmerman.
You're probably
right.
Right
now. At least that's my opinion.
No, you're probably right. I'm admitting that I probably am, but someone has to because no one else seems to care. Everyone else is just going, opening day
because
soon.
No one is panicking. There's no panic from Davey Martinez. There's no panic from Ryan Zimmerman, though I have to admit, and again, maybe this is just because he's walking in flip-flops and in wet grass or whatever, when he walked in front of the table on his way to the Junkies interview yesterday, I noticed there was a little foulness to his gait as he walked in front of the table.
Oh, now who's overthinking it, Pete?
I'm just trying to.
Welcome to my conspiracy theory, Bill.
I'm just saying it might be because he was in wet grass and wearing flip-flops.
I've got some weird things adding up is all I'm trying to tell you. No one seems to care.
Maybe he has an ingrown toenail like everybody else on the Nationals who's, you know,
hey,
Trey Turner had one.
Bryce
had Harper had one.
Surgically operated and moved
right on.
Have
you ever
right
had on. One of those?
I have not.
Neither
have
I.
Knock on wood.
Was it like a toenail that just like grows out of your bottom of your foot or something?
Is it the bottom of the foot? That'd be weird. I think it's when your actual toenail like grows into your skin or something.
Ooh,
weird in a way that it should.
Sounds painful.
Yeah. I'll get an update on the roads for you guys from Chad Dukes next. Matter of fact, if you've been out on the roads at all, I'm curious on a 395, a 495, a 295 update. 800-636-1067. What are we going to be dealing with at 2 o'clock is the big question. And I guess to put a bow on this, it's a little bit of shtick. I'm not telling you that I'm overly concerned about Ryan Zimmerman. I am saying there has not been enough questions asked about this for my liking. There has not been enough talk about this for my liking. This is something that should have been covered before 2 days ago, as far as I'm concerned, when we first started getting information. And I'm glad that the Junkies were beating this
investigative
drum.
Reporters.
Absolutely. It's a weird thing. We should all say this is a weird thing. And if it's just that, and we can end the sentence there, that's fine. But it's a weird thing. And now we got Bryce Harper taking ground balls. I guess I just want to be the guy that if something strange does come out of this, you go back and you go, remember when Grant did that segment and Pete thought he was a weirdo? Just remember this day. That's kind of my point. Brent and Danny, Pete's in for Danny on the Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. Danny will be back next week. If you missed it yesterday, we made the announcement that he's had a new baby boy. So congratulations to him and his wife and their family on a growing household.
He's on the verge of having his own like little league team here.
Yeah. Next step is a three-man basketball tournament. There you go. Two for two with boys, so he'll be fielding up the middle, a shortstop, and a second baseman, I'm sure, in the very near future. As we welcome you back, Pete, hanging out for Danny on G&D. Got some news to get to today, and that coming from the Twitter account of Al Riveron, who's the senior vice president of officiating, former NFL game official from 04 to 12, and now runs all the officiating with the National Football League. There's been so much deliberation on the catch rule, and you guys all know that the catch rule was expected to be changed this offseason. Well, the competition committee has been putting together their thoughts for their meeting. Club executives are going to get together with members of the committee this coming week in Orlando. And ahead of those meetings, a lot of deliberation went into it, input from coaches, from players, NFL legends, club execs, and the committee. These are the new recommendations on the catch rule from the competition committee. They're going to be submitted and could become the way we deem catch or non-catch in the NFL. So going through these, you have first, control of the football. That goes without saying, you know what that looks like. Ball can't be moving. You've got to hang on to the football. Second, you get 2 feet down. Inbounds before you're knocked out of bounds. You get 2 feet down while you're running along the grass. Or another body part. That's the butt. That's the elbow. That's the forearm. We've seen that time and time again. Third part of this, what is interesting, though, and that is a football move. So when you get your 2 feet and you have control of the football, it's a catch at that point. But if you catch the football, you get those 2 feet, you make a football move, which they're defining in a few different ways. They can also deem it a catch, which is a third step. That's the easiest thing to do, is to count the steps. Then you've got the reaching or the extending for the goal line. This is the big change here. This is your Jesse James Patriots Steelers play. This is your Dez Bryant, your Calvin Johnson reaching out, football on the ground for a moment, and then I lose it at the end of the play. It's no longer a catch. All of those would now be catches because you had control, you had 2 feet down, you made the football move, which they're now defining as well as reaching and extending the ball toward a line to gain. That's a catch. They also add the ability to perform such an act. I have no idea what that means, Pete. Do you?
The only thing I can think is if you are inhibited from making such an act, because you go up, you catch the ball, you come down potentially with 2 feet, and you have, say, two or three players draped on you, and you go down at that point. In other words, you can't really turn your body to make a third step or
reach out
with the football at that point. What the biggest thing is editorially, and again, Chris Collins, I can't survive the ground. You know, they've taken survive the ground editorially out of what the recommendations
right.
are here.
That wording was, I guess, you're saying survive the ground, but also the control the catch through the end of the play.
And like Riveron on his next tweet even said, that would make the Dez Bryant play, that would make the Jesse James play legal catches. Because you go back and look at the Jesse James, he catches the ball, he turns, he slides, then he reaches out, he's over the goal line, which if he's a running back, that's a touchdown, but because he's a receiver and
exactly.
he, quote, did not survive the ground, all of a sudden that becomes an incomplete pass at that point.
This fixes a lot of their problems,
I believe.
Because the controlling the ball through the end of the catch, through the end of the play, the ground not being able to cause the incompletion, some of those things.
And remember, ground can't cause a fumble.
Right, but it can cause an incompletion. That was kind of the confusion over the years. I've always said you can't make it arbitrary to the point where ref by ref goes in and looks at the play and decides if it's a catch or not. But catch is like pornography. You know what it looks like when you see it, right? You know whether something the reception or it isn't.
Do you and like it, Grant?
I love catches. They're very good. A football move with that third step or the extension reaching for the line to gain is all you needed to say all this time.
Correct.
As soon as a guy reaches out, it means I've had the ball long enough in my two hands. I'm reaching toward either first down or end zone territory. I clearly caught the ball. If I have taken steps and I'm reaching toward my end goal, how can you tell me I haven't caught
this
football?
If Jesse James is a running back and performs the act that he did, it's a touchdown. He's a tight end, so it becomes a completely different play, which should never, ever be the case. And again, it puts referees in a bad spot, and it put Riveron in a bad spot, because he's the guy that they go to the booth, and he was the judge and jury at that point. And technically, by the way the rule was written editorially, he had to overrule the play because of not quote, surviving the ground at that point.
I think the egregious blunders, and we've named them a few times by the last names of the players, they're very obvious. But as much as a Redskins fan, it will pain you to hear this, I'm sure, people out there listening in Washington, D.C., that Dez Bryant reception against Green Bay should have been. The Calvin Johnson end zone play of years ago, and it's funny now when you watch it on YouTube because you see how grainy the video is, and you go, wow, is this what it looked like just a few years ago? That was a catch. And it was such an easy fix for years that they neglected to make. Now, is this going to be perfect? Is there never going to be controversy again? Of course not, because you can't legislate every single play. My guess is, and maybe you'd know better about this than I would, Pete, I'm guessing Riveron and the crew went over like 150 or 200 close call controversial catches on tape that someone put together for them and said, okay, let's see if our new rule solves all of these. That's what I would bet happened. They had some intern or someone throw together an hour-long tape on all the really close calls for catches, and they go through each one together, and they go through their prongs on their this is what a catch is, and they make sure that none of those are – there's no gray area with the new rule.
As an official in basketball and in high school softball and college softball, I look at it this way. We have – and the NFL has gotten terrible in college football as well. We have over-legislated the rule book now, where we put the officials, good officials. I mean, these are the best. I don't care what anybody says. Yes, do they make bad calls? Sure. But they're still the best officials in the world at these prospective sports. So to go out and put these guys now in such a tough position in terms of officiating the game, you know, now I think guys are going to be able to officiate the game. I don't want to say with a – I don't know if clearer mind is the better word or the better phrase here. But I do believe they're going to have a much clearer mind about officiating the game. Plus, the game's going to have more flow now. We're not going to have as many stoppages to go see if this is a catch. And, you know, that's the one real criticism of replay is we end up going to it too much. And because we've had to go to it on plays like this all the time, the routine play now is going to be a routine play. What looks to be a routine play is going to be a routine play. We play on, spot the football, and let's keep going.
Such a perfect comment. That's so well said. The plays that shouldn't be debatable or controversial won't be. There's going to be some that are, but when you and me watch a game and we see James reach for the goal line and we know he caught the ball and now it's ruled incomplete, that's gone. And I like that. The one thing that I think becomes an issue now is this vague, weird third bullet point and the third item when they say control, 2 feet down, a football move such as a third step, reaching or extending the line. I get all that. Then they say, or the ability to perform such an act. That's now what we'll argue is, when would a receiver have the ability to perform such an act and not be able to pull it off?
At some point, we'll need to get, I mean, at some point, Riveron will have to go in front of some people and say, you know,
explain
here's
what
that
is.
Right.
Because I have no idea what that means.
I mean, we could tweet right back to him and say, hey Al, what does number 3-3 mean?
I bet he's probably busy enough that he's not going to get back to us, but we'll try.
At
Grant and Danny,
Twitter.
Pete is in for Danny today on 106.7 The Fan. We'll preview the Wizards and the Spurs, get you a preview of the sports landscape tonight, and we will look ahead to our treks through the snow home next. If you've got an update for us on the roads, we want that. 800-636-1067 on GD. USC's Pro Day in the rain. I just threw a pretty short, errant, inaccurate pass moments ago, but the reports coming out of that pro day, according to people that are there, as well as some of the people who cover the draft for a living, texting with people who are in the vicinity, are that he's really impressed and he's benefited from working out in the rain. A lot of times you see guys either not look very good and or decide that they're going to wait for better weather or maybe not throw if it's raining out. But he's throwing in the rain, no glove on, and apparently he has turned some heads. We talked earlier about the quarterbacks in this draft class. I'm not really sure what the upside downside is for him. He's going in the top five, whether he throws great today, whether he throws terribly today, whether he even takes part in this pro day at all. That's not going to change. I guess there's still a chance he could go 1-1 to Cleveland. It's more likely he's in that 2-3 range. But as we said earlier, Pete, could be four quarterbacks in the top five, which would just be insane.
Because what happens is, Grant, everybody starts to panic once a quarterback goes off the board. Okay, we may not get our guy, so let's just go up and get him. I think the question is, who's got the material? Because as we heard Albert Breer talk about, Cardinals certainly interested in doing that. Who's got the better material to move up with right now between Denver, Buffalo, and Arizona, the three most likely candidates to move up? I mean, is there somebody off the radar that you think maybe we're not thinking about that tries to move up in here into the top four or five?
The only team, just based on all the reports, and I don't know why this would make sense, but seems to be that they are just sniffing around on quarterbacks too much for their own good, is the Miami Dolphins.
Somebody move, yeah, true.
Wouldn't shock me. They're just outside of the top 10. And with the movement now of the Browns definitely getting one, the fact that the Jets have moved past you to get one, the Bills are going to move ahead of you, they're 12th now. When they leapfrog you, you could be in a situation where it takes one quarterback that isn't supposed to go coming off the board, and you don't get one of the top four. That means no Allen, that means no Darnold, no Rosen, and probably no Mayfield. So if you're the Dolphins and you really have made up your mind that you're going to get one of those quarterbacks just outside of the top 10, you may have to move in four or five picks earlier toward the top of the board to the top seven or eight or so if you want to get one of these guys the way that it's trending. The other pro day is Georgia, and we said we would talk about this before the end of the show, so let's pay off that tease, as we like to call it. Nick Chubb ran a great 40 time at the combine. I was blown away by that. As big as he is and as physically as he runs, for him to have put on the 40 clinic that he did was amazing. I like Sony Michel a lot more. I liked Chubb better over the last few years collegiately. Big picture, he was around longer, watching Georgia, have been enamored with him for a long time. But I think Michel is what works in the league right now, Pete. It's about being, the word I use is explosive. This is a big play, chunk yardage league. It's about being able to get to the edge, turn it upfield, and hit a home run, which he can do. But also the ability of the backfield. Chubb showed he could catch the ball at the combine a little bit. So maybe he could do that at a
most
passable
reps,
level.
On the bench press, .225.
Oh, strength's not an issue. But I'm talking speed, catching, third down abilities, things like that. Michel is, to me, made for the NFL in 2018.
The question, and look, Jay said we need a guy on first and second down. That's a guy on first and second down who can do both things for you, so you don't really give anything away to the other team about what you're doing from a tendency standpoint.
He's like Capri Bibbs if Capri Bibbs was better in every area and had a lot of hype going into this year's draft. You know what I mean? Like an upgrade over kind of that skill set.
Does all of those things. Look, Capri Bibbs does all of those things kind of good or right around average or just above average. Sony Michel does all those things above average.
Yep.
He's above average in all those categories.
How would you feel about him or Ronald Jones in the second round?
See, I think Jones is a guy probably. See, you don't have a third. That's a problem. I think Jones is probably a third or fourth round guy.
Fourth?
I do believe.
Wow.
You know how some teams don't value the running back position? I think that changes
a little bit with what Kamara just did. And this class is so good.
See, I don't think Jones does necessarily the same things Kamara does. Like, I don't know if he's as dynamic a pass catcher as Kamara turned out to be.
Right, but you have Ezekiel Elliott 2 years ago, rookie of the year. You have Alvin Kamara this past year, rookie of the year. I think the idea of, we don't need to draft a running back because it's just running back, I think that's going away a little bit. Because those guys coming out of the league, they've been better the last couple of years. Than
does somebody trade him into the top five to get Barkley?
Why wouldn't you if he falls out of the top three? Now, if the Giants stay put, don't you think they take him at two? Or do they take Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame?
See, that's Barkley, I think, could affect winning more than Quentin Nelson right now. As great as Nelson is, I think Barkley's a guy that can affect winning for you faster overall in your program than Quentin Nelson right now.
I just don't know how you pass. Unless you're drafting a quarterback because you have desperate need for one on Saquon.
Can you draft a guard at number two?
I don't care about that.
I'm just saying, that's part of the discussion out there.
Yeah, and my answer is I don't care about that. I don't care that the Redskins took Brandon Scherff at five because he's damn good. Quentin Nelson's going to make eight Pro Bowls and might make a Hall of Fame. I don't care if you take him two or three.
Look at what Zach
round.
Martin has done. Quentin Nelson has the ability to do the exact same thing for your team that Zach Martin did for Dallas's offensive line at the same position.
Yeah, people, to me, that is the most overrated, over-talked about like draft philosophy is where you can take guards. I know Jay Gruden said
but guard. If somebody makes you a stupid offer like the Jets did to the Colts, if you're the Giants, I think you have to listen and consider.
Oh, hell yeah. If they get an offer at two from the Bills to come up 10 spots, which would mean multiple picks in future years that are ones or twos, multiples, they have to take that deal. It completely restocks your system.
Because even though you need offensive linemen badly, you could still get a guy like McGlinchey or an Orlando Brown clearly at that spot if you move down and still wanted to take a lineman.
Let's go to Todd in Fairfax really quickly. Todd, how are the roads? We're about to drive home. Pete's heading out into Maryland. I'm going back to Virginia. What do you got?
he will have no problems, guys. The roads are pretty much clear shoulder to shoulder. They're basically just wet. You wouldn't even really know that it snowed today,
seriously?
Truthfully.
Where are you driving around at? Because looking out in D.C. right now, it's slushy and kind of gross on the roads. Where are you at?
All through Fairfax County.
Okay.
I'm working in Fairfax County. I've been out since 5 a.m. this morning. And earlier today, they were a little bit messy, but the snow has pretty much stopped, and they've been doing a good job of treating them. So they're pretty much clear. I don't think you'll have any problems.
My man. Virginia's doing great.
Shout out to all the snow plows and guys out there, independent contractors clearing off all those neighborhoods and side streets.
By the way, Sam Darnold just ripped off.
He just threw 60 yards in the air. And guess what? Right on target for the guy to catch the ball.
Slicing through the rain. I love college pro days. Chad Dukes versus the world is up next. If you missed any part of our show today, including our buddy Albert Breer talking all things NFL, good conversation on Ryan Zimmerman talking Pernell McPhee visiting with the Redskins. You can go to thefandc.com or grantanddanny.com/audio. Listen to Chad at 2 o'clock. Pete, it was fun. We'll do it again tomorrow.
I will be right back here tomorrow, sir.
Looking forward to it, pal. You're listening to D&D. Chad is up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.